there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I don't know why I stopped there in my notes, but let's go on and read a few more verses. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And we'll stop there. Because we've been concentrating on being quickened, we oftentimes take this lightly, don't we? We need to be praising God that we've been quickened. And praise God, we are no longer dead in our trespasses and in our sins. He says that we walked according to the course of this world before our salvation, before we were quickened, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were not on this common thought that's out there that all are on their way to hell, but as God's elect, we were never on our way to hell. We did live as they do. We were just as much sinners as they were, or are. But because we were God's elect, we were never on our way to hell. Those of us who are His chosen people, would not have. The Lord would not permitted us to die and leave this life in that lost state. That's not a possibility. But the fact is, what Paul is trying to get across here is, we were no better than they were. It's only by God's grace that we did not follow the path that they have followed. What a great joy! Back up. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and shed His blood so that His people could have eternal life. His people. You remember back in the story of His birth in Matthew, it tells us that He came to save His people from their sins. Not all the people of the world. There are not those who He provided salvation for that are not going to be saved. Those He provided salvation for are all going to be saved. All His chosen people. And if that's what you believe, then you don't believe in the same Christ that we read of in the Bible. You don't read, you're following a false gospel. What great joy should come over us when we think on these things. What a great joy should come over us when the Lord opens our eyes to these truths. There are those in the world who don't understand these truths. And we didn't at one time, but He opened our eyes to them. And what a joy it is to know that we have been quickened. We still seek after those sins of our past on a daily basis. In these fleshly bodies, there are things, these sins, maybe not the same sins that we once did, but maybe some different ones. It may be the same ones, depending on what it is. But we have to, He tells us we're to leave those sins behind and to follow Him. What a sad testimony we show others when we follow after those lusts of the flesh and walk after the course of this world. If we are truly the children of God, we must leave behind the sins of our past. We must leave behind the lust of the flesh and the things this world glories in, and follow the one who saved our soul from eternal death. There's eternal life, and there's also the flip side of that is eternal death. You have one or the other. We're given eternal life by our Father. Eternal death is to those who are not saved, those who are not God's elect, those who have rebelled against God and followed that way. As long as those trespasses and sins are haunting us and we are craving after them, we will have no peace in this life. Think about that. Even God's children, if we dwell too long and too much on our past sins, or even our current sins, if we're living in sin now, God's not going to let us have peace in this life if we're truly His. We look at people and we think, how do they go through life doing the things they're doing? Well, for one, we can't make that judgment completely, but it's a good possibility that they don't know the Lord at all. And if they do, they're in total rebellion. And you think about if any of your children have ever been just openly rebellious. And I'm talking about when they're younger. I'm not talking about when they grew up and become adults. But when they were younger, just totally rebelled against any authority. We're the same way. Because we're rebellious doesn't mean God kicks us out of the family, is it? There may be other ways He chastises us. He gives us eternal life. Eternal life means forever. It doesn't go away. He can't remove it from us. He won't remove it from us. We can't take it from ourselves. No one can take it from us. But if we're rebellious, He will chastise us. He will punish us for it. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now think about that. We don't, or we shouldn't anyway, be chastising somebody else's kids, should we? Unless maybe if they're staying at our house for some reason. But even at that, you're still limited on what you can do as far as chastisement. It's only those who are the sons and daughters of God that He chastens. Does He do things to others who are not His children? Well, I believe He does. He pours out His wrath upon them at times. Look at the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, obviously those people, the only people there that were God's children was Lot and his family that we know of, maybe just Lot. We don't know for sure. But he'd only saved four people from that, and one of them didn't make it all the way, his wife. So certainly God does bring down His wrath on people at times, even whole cities, whole civilizations. But His children, He chastens. It does. That means that He's not going to... Will He destroy us? Not like He does... with His wrath, like He does the rest of the world. It's different. A lot of times it's inward chastening, or what I call inward chastening. It's our conscience, or what we call our conscience, that He pricks our conscience. He causes us to be conscious of our sin, of what we have done wrong, what we have done that has wronged Him. And He brings it to our attention. The Holy Spirit that's within us will do that. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And that's pretty harsh language there, but that's the truth. If you're not getting chastisement from God, you're not His. That's what He's saying. And that's a scary thing if you think about if you think you're getting away with your sin and you don't have, if God's not doing anything about it, or you don't think He is. Are you really His? You might ought to examine yourself. And it may not happen right that moment either, though. Remember that. God may let you stew in those sins for a time before He chastises you for it. That happens too. But at some point, He's going to chastise you for it. And sometimes He chastises us and we still rebel. The hard times come, He'll put us through some hard times, and even we're so wrapped up in our sin that we continue to rebel, and what we call hit rock bottom, it'll take us hitting rock bottom before we realize, hey, I shouldn't be doing that, or why am I still doing this? You know, when we realize that it's God that's caused us to fall that far. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now, he's not talking about salvation here, because he's speaking to saved people. We've had our fathers of the flesh. He's talking about our earthly fathers who have corrected us, and we've given them reverence. We've respected them for it. Should we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? Should we not be much more respectful of God when He chastises us? You know, we think when the chastisement comes, like, this is not fun at all, you know. But yet we should reverence God in those times, that He has caused us to realize that we have sinned against Him. And he says, and to live, in other words, that we may live peaceably in this world. He's not talking about salvation here. We're already saved. His children are already saved people. This is not affecting our sins, do not affect our eternal life. But they do, they will and can affect our life here on this earth. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So, even though the chastening for the present time, when it happens, is not pleasant, and he says it's grievous, it can be, but when it's over, and we know why we've been chastened, it's a glorious time, isn't it? It draws us closer to God, or it should. We need to praise God that we have a Savior and a Heavenly Father who has forgiven us of our sins, that in these times that we are chastened and not taking, He's not taking His wrath out on us. Because without that Savior and without that forgiveness of our sins, we would see His wrath and not His chastisement. Our past, present, and future sins are forgiven in Him, in Christ. And what a glorious thought to know that our Heavenly Father loves us so much He sent His only begotten Son to die so our sins would be forgiven. And think about these things. When we commit a sin, do we think about what Christ has done for us? Sometimes that can be the chastisement, is when God brings that to our mind. Look, my Son went to the cross and died for you, and it wasn't for you to go do this. It covers that sin, of course. We understand that. But we're supposed to act better than that as the children of God. We have been given eternal life. It could be much worse. He didn't have to do what He did He? He did it because He loved us. We should be praising God. We have a Heavenly Father who chastens us when we do wrong. And people think, well, why would you praise God or praise your parent for beating you? That sounds kind of off, doesn't it? But it's a fact. It's bringing to our attention what we've done wrong. His chastisement, that is bringing to our attention what we've done wrong. And the purpose of it is so that we don't do it again. Do we do it again? Yeah, we're going to do it again, probably, in this lifetime. And He's going to chasten us again for it, isn't He? We just don't learn. And again, the examples that we see in the Scripture is it goes back to our own children or us when we were children. It's the same examples. It's the same thing. When a child is disobedient to his parents and they chasten him, they either spank him or punish him in some way, they don't take his life, do they? No. There's laws against that. The Bible's against that. We might, in sometimes we might wish they took our life, depending on how bad the punishment is, but sometimes it's that way with God. You know, sometimes His chastisement is harsh enough that we wish He'd just take us out. But He's not always done with us, is He? If you're not receiving chastisement for your sin in worldly ways, remember the verse in Hebrews we just read. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you're sinning and you're living in the world and God's not chastening you, if He's not bringing to mind your sin, you need to examine your life because you may not be one of His. Or it may be you're not saved yet. You may be His elect, or you may not be His elect at all. That would be a sad thing. Are you a son or a daughter of God? If you are, He will convict you of that sin and will chastise you in a way that will teach you a lesson to not do it again. But like I said, we do it again anyway. We're going to in this life. That doesn't mean that we should purposely go and do it again. Hopefully the chastisement teaches us the lesson not to do it again, and we pay attention and we don't do it again. Are you not convicted of your sins? We should be praying that all who hear this will be convicted and repent of their sins. I know about election and predestination. I do not believe that God loves everybody, but we don't know who His elect are, and so we pray that everyone that hears this are His elect. I pray if any who hear this are not a child of God, He will convict you of your sin and cause you to see your need for the Savior. That should be our prayer with every sermon that goes out over the airwaves, well, we don't go over the airwaves, do we? Go through the internet's not airwaves, is it? But it's kind of sort of. But you know what I mean. Our prayer should be that all those listening, if they're not saved, that the Lord will save them. He tells us to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's how it's done. That's the example given. To believe. That you don't have to beg. You don't have to say a sinner's prayer. All you got to do is believe. God, a child of God, if you're living in sin, turn from your sin. Leave it behind. We should be seeking peace in this life, especially from our Heavenly Father. From Him more than anyone else, we should be seeking peace. And how do we get that peace? By just doing what He tells us to do. Stop rebelling. Follow His word. Follow His commandments. He says if we love Him, we'll follow His commandments, doesn't He? Do we? Do we love Him enough to follow His commandments? Well, I understand He's the only one that has perfect love, at least at this point in time. There'll be coming a day when we're in eternity, and I think we'll all understand more about eternal love or about perfect love. We think we have perfect love sometimes, but we really don't. If we did, we'd follow His commandments all the time, wouldn't we? And we'd be at complete peace every day of our lives. But while we're living in these fleshly bodies, that's not going to be possible. We should be striving for that. Understand, just because you know that we live in a fleshly body doesn't give you the right to go out there and commit all the sins you want and then, oh, well, I made it to heaven at the end. Well, if you go out and do those things, you may be fooling yourself. He tells us to make our election sure, doesn't He? We examine ourselves is how we do that. We examine our life. We seek His face and His forgiveness. Even after we're saved, we seek His forgiveness for the sins we commit. And there are those religious fanatics out there who will tell you that once you're saved, you will never sin again. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They didn't get that from the Scripture. Not if they read it correctly. It's not there. Take the lesson He is trying to teach you and learn from it and learn how He wants you to live. People talk about, I don't know what God wants from me in this life. Well, are you paying attention? Stop rebelling against Him. Follow His word. We see people, especially in the religious world, doing all kinds of religious rituals and religious things to try to please God, and every bit of it's against what His word says. When if they would just follow Him and follow His word, He'd show you what He wants. So that's all we have for tonight. I pray that someone gets a blessing out of that. That's what's kind of on my mind today. Anyway, that's all we have.